This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown Mercer County. Touchdown Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
It is Sportsline on a Saturday morning on WRMJ, a program that's been on these airwaves of this local radio station since the station signed on the air all the way back in the year 1979. This is Ty Taylor from inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios this morning. Appreciate you tuning in. As always, already now 7 weeks through the 2025 high school football season. Really hard to believe there's just 2 weeks of the regular season left as we start to kind of shift our focus towards the postseason. A lot to get to from last night around the Three Rivers Athletic Conference. We'll have five coaches on this morning. Later in the show as well, we'll speak with Rockridge head coach Sam Graves, Monmouth Roseville head coach Jeremy Adolfson. A big undefeated battle between the Rockets and the Titans next week. We'll also be joined by our regular guest, Mercer County head coach Fred Lucas, Sherrard head coach Dan McGuire, and Orion head coach Chip Filler as well. As we recap week seven, which took place last night, I think the first place to start, of course, will be George Pratt Memorial Field in Alito. The county line clash game between Rockridge and Mercer County, where the schools now play for a traveling trophy. It's great to see, you know, that local involvement in a game that we missed for so many years. It came back last year for the first time since 2013, which was a postseason game. First time Rockridge came to Alito for a high school football game since 2013 last night. Rockridge wins the game going away in the second half, 61-24, but I think the first place to start with the game last night is just, and we'll get into the specifics of what took place on the field in a moment, but what a fantastic crowd by both sides. And they played a preliminary youth game, fifth and sixth grade game between Rockridge and Mercer County before the varsity game, which certainly added to the crowd a little bit, I think. But it was a fantastic atmosphere. And normally when you have a game where one team is 6-0 and one team is 1-5 coming in, you don't always get that. But boy, it was a really fun night last night. And I think that certainly, you know, helped Mercer County compete in the game the way they did. As you kind of recap it, I mean, it was a 9-point game with under 5 minutes to play in the third quarter as Rockridge, they weren't able to really put Mercer County away until midway to the late point in the third quarter. It was 26-11 at halftime. Mercer County cut the deficit to 20-11 at the half, or with 32 seconds in the half to play, I should say, on a 31-yard field goal by sophomore Cannon Link. Rockridge would answer on a 60-yard drive in less than 30 seconds. They would score with 2 seconds on the clock before half. Colin Schweigen found Chase Wheatley for a 40-yard touchdown pass, extended to 26-11. Mercer County, though, got the ball to start the second half and would score, as we said, to make it a 9-point game, 26-17. It was a hook and ladder play that wasn't a design play. The wide receiver for Mercer County caught a hitch route. As he was being tackled, he pitched it back to the quarterback, John Baldwin, who took it to the corner of the end zone and put the ball across the pylon to get in to make it
9-point game. From there, though, Rock Ridge, their offense just kept kind of chugging along. They scored 9 touchdowns in the game, 9 touchdowns, 11 drives. The other two drives, they punted once and then kneeled the ball out inside the 10-yard line at the end of the game. So just a really dominant performance for Rock Ridge offensively, especially 523 yards of total offense, back-to-back weeks of 500-plus yards for the Rockets. Colin Schweigen, 6 more touchdowns for him this week, 10 for 16 passing, 248 yards, 5 touchdowns. He rushed the ball 9 times for 65 yards and a score. So he's already up to 30 touchdowns on the season, which the single-season record, which he set last year in the Rock Ridge program for single-season touchdowns, was 32. So he should be able to snap that and really have a chance to shatter it, as he's got 2 more regular season games, plus hopefully a deep playoff run for the Rockets. They got contributions basically from all of their playmakers. Tanner Dye, 139 rushing yards and a touchdown. Thomas Soward, 71 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns. Receiving-wise, the Steel boys, Owen Steele with 132 yards receiving and a touchdown. Liam Steele caught 4 passes for 109 yards and 2 scores. Chase Wheatley and Wyatt Osborne each had touchdown catches in the win last night. As well, as we talked about, Rock Ridge, their quarterback rushed for a touchdown and passed for 5. There are 2 main running backs rushed for Sowards, 2 touchdowns, Dye, 1 touchdown, and then the receivers, Liam Steele, 2 touchdown catches, and their other 3 starting receivers, Owen Steele, Chase Wheatley, and Osborne, each a touchdown each. So, I mean, 9 touchdowns in a 48-minute game is really impressive, putting up 60-plus points. And we'll talk more with Rock Ridge head coach Sam Graves this morning on the program. But last night, I know at halftime when we had him on with our sideline reporter Rusty Dunn going into the locker room, he wasn't really thrilled with maybe the effort and execution up front. He felt like Mercer County in the first half especially kind of won the battle up front, which at least for me, a little surprising with just how the 2 seasons have gone for the teams coming in to the year. But congratulations to Rock Ridge on a conference championship, remaining undefeated at 7-0. Rockets now champions of the Rock Division of the Three Rivers Athletic Conference, which is always a really good league and a competitive league for the 3rd time in the last 4 seasons. So congrats to the Rockets on that as they move to 7-0 on the season. On the Mercer County side, and we spoke about this at length with Mercer County head coach Fred Lucas last night, and I'm sure we'll get into it more with him this morning too when he joins us coming up here around 9:20 or so. But the effort that Mercer County put on the field last night was fantastic. I mean, there's no question they were outmatched when you look at the sheer talent that Rock Ridge has and just the overwhelming speed and athleticism and just group of players they have, especially at their skill positions, and then defensively too. They've been so good all year. Mercer County has their best night of the year offensively in terms of total yardage with 329. They put up 24 points, get in the end zone 3 times, and kick a field goal in the game as well, and really competed and held their own up front with Rock Ridge, like we talked about with what Coach Graves was saying at halftime last night. And we spoke last week with Coach Lucas, the game at Newman on Saturday where Mercer County lost 46-7. It really felt like you didn't see the effort you want to see out of, you know, the program that day. It just felt like me kind of going through the motions. And I was, you know, worried for Mercer County's sake coming into last week, to be honest, or coming into this week, I should say, to be honest, just because of how good I think Rock Ridge is and how the season had gone for Mercer County. I was worried about just maybe the effort level or the psyche or the mindset coming in. But, you know, every worry you could have possibly had, Mercer County's effort they gave, you know, made those moot, in my opinion. And you look at the numbers for Mercer County. I mean, a really nice night for their quarterback, John Baldwin. He was 5 for 11 passing for 45 yards. Carried the ball 8 times for 94 yards and 2 scores. Tannen Whitehall, 15 carries, 115 yards and a touchdown. He had a really explosive 78-yard touchdown run. And Whitehall and Baldwin, you know, we just haven't been able to see them really get into space much this year. But they both made really electric touchdown runs. Baldwin won from, I think, 64 yards off the top of my head. And Whitehall, we mentioned the one he scored from 78 yards out. But again, for Mercer County, the big, you know, recurring issue for them is just defensively they're not able to get enough stops. Where, as we mentioned already, Rock Ridge had 11 drives last night, 9 touchdowns. They had to punt once. Then the end of the game, that they just kneeled the ball out as they were inside the 10-yard line, where Mercer County, they were hanging around in the game, but every time they would get some momentum, it would just be snatched right back. We talked about the field goal they kicked, a 31-yarder late in the second half to get the game within 9. They give up a big pass play from Schweigen to Owen Steele that sets up a four-yard touchdown pass with just 2 seconds left in the half after Mercer County's first touchdown of the night, which was that 78-yard run by Whitehall, which made it a five-point game at the time. The Golden Eagles gave up a big kick return across midfield to the 40, and then Rockridge scored on one play on a 40-yard touch run by Schweigen at that point to push the lead back to 20-8. Rockridge had 3 one-play touchdown drives in the game last night, and that's something that we talked about post-game with Coach Lucas as well. It just feels like when you play Rockridge, you have to be almost perfect offensively because it just feels like no matter who you are, you're going to really struggle to stop them consistently with the firepower they have on offense. They're now averaging more than 40 points per game. They came in last night over 39 per game and put up 61 on the scoreboard to pull away in the fourth quarter. So despite a fifth straight loss for Mercer County last night and a fifth straight game where the Golden Eagles have allowed 40-plus points, I think it was as good of an effort as you could have possibly hoped for with what the matchup was. And I do think that, like I said earlier, the rivalry aspect, and we talked about this on our post game last night as well, with Rockridge and playing a school that's 15 miles down the road and playing for a traveling trophy, that game absolutely positively means something to every kid on the field, people in the stands, people in the community. Mercer County and Rockridge is a meaningful game no matter what, just like Mercer County Sherrard is, Mercer County Monmouth Roseville is, Mercer County Orient is. That just is the one thing that you didn't have previously that you have now in the Three Rivers for Mercer Counties. You have these regular season games that I don't want to say actually mean something, but mean, I think, a heck of a lot more than it meant when you were playing, you know, Roval Williams Field and United and Princeville. I mean, programs like that. It just is different than playing, like I said, programs like Rockridge, Sherrard, and Monmouth Roseville and Orion, where you know all these kids and have, you know, been around them growing up and competed with them since, you know, you were a third grade kid playing whatever, youth basketball or whatever it was. So that's the one definitive positive from last night. I think everybody is so excited that this game is back. It obviously should have been something that happened every year, and the fact there was a, you know, 19-year span where it was played one time and it was because it was a playoff game was a shame. And it's great to have those local games back for Mercer County, at least for sure. So that's something I left, you know, last night. The parking situation at Mercer County isn't great, you know, for games like that, but it's great when you go there and can't find a parking spot. And I got there at about 5 o'clock to try to, you know, start setting up our equipment. And I mean, I had to park a long way away from the field because there are already so many people there for the youth game, and most of those people stuck around for the varsity game. So it was a fun night for sure. All right, elsewhere locally in the conference last night, hey, happy for the Sherrard Tigers. They pick up a win 52-7 on the road over Kewaunee, and we've spoke a lot on this show throughout the season, you know, both in this segment and then as we speak with Dan McGuire too each week, that just the adversity that Sherrard has had to deal with this season has been overwhelming when you talk about injuries and illnesses and having to forfeit a game because not having enough kids earlier in the season in week three. And they've been so close in a lot of games. In week two, they were battling with Mercer County. I think a game they could have possibly won if Carter Brown doesn't get hurt. Week four, they're leading Hall, and a really strange ejection happens against Carter Brown when he's stiff-arming a kid running the ball. So he doesn't get to finish that game, sits out basically the whole third and fourth quarter. Sherrard gives up a game-winning touchdown to Hall with under 2 minutes left to lose that game. The next week when they played Mendota, Brown had to sit out the first three quarters of the game. Sherrard hangs around but falls by 4 points, 14-10. So you're speaking about a team that very possibly could have had, you know, 3 wins coming into this week. Instead, they're 0-6. And I think they take out the frustration of the year they had, because I really don't think they're as bad of a team as 0-6, you know, tells you they are. They lead the game, get out to an early 12-0 lead. Kewaunee then scores to make it 12-7 for Sherrard, pulls away and scores the final 6 touchdowns of the night to win the game going away 52-7, and really happy for those kids, really happy for Carter Brown specifically with the adversity he's had to face this year with some of the stuff that went on. So really, really happy for those kids and Coach McGuire. Glad they got to get home last night and ring the bell at Clifford King Field, get to 1-6 on the year. It looked like, you know, kind of a big night for all of Rock Ridge's usual main producers. Harrison Curry with two touchdown runs, Carter Brown a touchdown pass to Emery Partlow and a touchdown for him as well, and then Landon Clark found the end zone with a touchdown run in the contest. Cooper Thomas a touchdown carry as well, and Wes Easley also found the end zone in the fourth quarter for the Tigers. Sherrard also returned an interception for a touchdown in the game last night. So win number one for Dan McGuire leading the Sherrard football program as the Tigers win at 52-7. They'll play Orion next week in Week 8. For Orion, their playoff hopes come to an end last night following the Erie Provincetown 40-14. Chargers scored the first touchdown of the night to go up 7-0 and actually led 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. But Erie Provincetown would score the next 40 points of the game to go up 40-7 for the Chargers score with about 30 seconds left in the game to make it 40-14. So Orion's playoff hopes, as we mentioned, officially dashed with their fifth loss of the season. They've now lost four games in a row since beating Mercer County back in Week 3. We knew coming in that standout wide receiver and returner and safety Owen Voorhees was going to be hobbled with the ankle injury he suffered last week. Now, he played in the game, but as I've heard from people who were there, and we'll talk with Coach Filler a little bit too, certainly wasn't 100%, and that really hurts Orion's chances. I think they were probably an underdog in that game with him being 100%, but you know, with him being a little bit hobbled, it was going to be really hard to see them be able to compete. And I think even if he's 100%, I don't think they probably would have been able to get enough stops defensively to keep in the game. As Erie Provincetown officially clinches a playoff spot with their fifth win of the season, the Panthers now 5-2. Keegan Winkler for Erie Provincetown, four rushing touchdowns and a passing touchdown as well for the Panthers senior quarterback. So congrats to him. Congrats to Coach Whitebread on returning to the postseason. The Newman Central Catholic Comets moved to 6-1. They beat Riverdale on the road 24-14. So Newman now 6-1. And it looks like with some results last night, a couple of upsets in small school football around the state. Newman, it looks like, is being pushed closer and closer to the 2A side of the bubble in terms of playoff bracketing. So I think now it's more likely than not that Newman will be bumped to 2A instead of playing in the 1A postseason, which certainly kind of throws a little bit of a wrench in both of those projected fields if that comes to fruition, because as we've been projecting and kind of forecasting the playoffs, I think most people have expected Newman to be in the 1A field, but it looks like to me, now at least, that they're trending more towards potentially being in the 2A playoffs. Riverdale, for the second straight week, a chance to clinch a playoff spot for the first time since 2011. They come up short again. They're now 4-3. Next week for these teams, Newman will play in Week 8 against Kewaunee, and Riverdale will have a battle with the Hall Red Devils trying to get to the postseason next week. Monmouth-Roseville remains undefeated. Titans roll Hall 57-14. Monmouth-Roseville, like Rock Ridge, clinched a conference title last night as the Titans improved to 6-0 on the year. Another big night for Monmouth-Roseville as Nick Houston rushes for 282 yards and three touchdowns. He set the single-game rushing record in the Monmouth-Roseville program. That was set by a great player by the Titans, Martell Hunter, back in 2012. Landon Montroit added two touchdowns on the ground and 136 rushing yards in the win. As the Titans roll again and set up a fun game next week, man, between Rock Ridge and Monmouth-Roseville. That game is hosted by Rock Ridge. Both teams are going to be 7-0. Rock Ridge, I think, likely will be the number one ranked team in the state next week as in Class 2A, as Maroa Forsyth, number one this week, got beat last night by Olympia. So I think the Rockets likely will jump into the number one spot in the 2A rankings. Monmouth-Roseville was ranked number 10 in 3A this week. They'll certainly remain inside the 3A top 10. So another state-ranked matchup in Edgington for the second time this year. Rock Ridge this time will take on Monmouth-Roseville, 7-0 versus 7-0. Should be a very fun, physical, and tight game, I think, next week, without a doubt. Final game of the conference last night, Princeton over Mendota, 48-10. Princeton gets to 4-3 on the season. Mendota eliminated from playoff contention at 2-5. The game was 14-10 Princeton at halftime. They pull away, though, in the second half to win it, going away 48-10. Princeton comes to Aledo next week to take on Mercer County. The Tigers will be looking to clinch a playoff spot coming in with four wins. Mendota next week takes on the Erie, Prophetstown, Panthers. Well, a lot to get to this morning with our head coaches. We'll speak with Mercer County head coach Fred Lucas coming up momentarily. Rock Ridge head coach Sam Graves will join the program. We'll also speak with Monmouth Roseville Titan head coach Jeremy Adolphs and get you ready for next week's battle between the Rockets and the Titans. Orion's Chip Filler, Sherrard's Dan McGuire on the line this morning as well. It's Sportsline from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Toledo. Take a break. Come back with more on WRMJ after this.
Plan to attend a virtual live land and real estate auction for the Gary Schomburg Estate on Friday, October 31st, beginning at 12 p.m., presented by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. This property includes 26 acres in one tract, located at 1436 State Highway 94, north of Aledo. The three-bedroom ranch home features an open floor plan, spacious living and dining room, kitchen with breakfast bar, master with private bath, central air, updated utilities, wood-burning fireplace, plus a full basement and two-car attached garage. Other features on the property include a 30 by 40 horse barn, 10 by 16 open front utility shed, wooded recreational land and pasture, white-tailed deer habitat, and even an asparagus patch. Visit MeritAuctions.com for online bidding and photos. That's MeritAuctions.com and click on Upcoming Auctions. For any questions or to arrange a showing, call auction manager Dale Jones at 309-299-6400. Don't miss the virtual live land and real estate auction for the Gary Schomburg Estate on Friday, October 31st, beginning at 12 p.m. Presented by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Now at 6140 Run, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka, lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140 Run. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
All right, we're back inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. Sports Line on a Saturday morning. We are recapping week 7 of the local high school football season, speaking with Mercer County Golden Eagle head coach Fred Lucas. Golden Eagles fall at home last night to Rock Ridge, but we talked about it last night. I think important to reiterate and start the conversation with this. Absolutely phenomenal effort level from the kids last night, bouncing back, you know, from coming in having lost four games in a row, but really battled and gave Rock Ridge a game through about, you know, two and a half quarters about midway through the third. So like we said last night, starting off, really proud of the kids' effort last night.
Yeah, we started the game with a lot of energy last night for sure. And, you know, it carried in through the first half, and we're able to make some plays. And like when we, you know, one good play on top of another just kind of snowballs that energy with the kids, and they really played hard last night.
And so I thought last night offensively, we talked about it, you know, post-game as well, biggest yardage total for, you know, a single game with, I think, 329 off the top of my head. You won the time of possession battle again, moved the ball, didn't turn it over, which are things that kind of have been, you know, struggles throughout the season. So as you look at this team, you know, from the beginning of the year to now week 7, we've spoken about the new system you're running offensively this year, primarily out of the wing T. Do you feel like, you know, you're really kind of starting to take strides here late in the year? Because I think that the last 2 weeks, specifically against, you know, two of the tougher opponents you've played, you've done a pretty good job, you know,
turned it over against Newman, but last night against Rockridge held on to the ball and have moved the ball pretty well against both teams.
Yeah, we're definitely starting to click a little bit. And even though last night we ran some different things, it's not like our usual base stuff like we talked about post-game. You know, their defense is kind of a man assignment defense, so we kind of had to adjust some of the alignments that we would use. But, it's clicking. The kids are running the ball with a little bit more confidence. And, again, we improve it a little bit each week, and in the next couple weeks we're going to get better.
Well, I think, too, one of the positives, and we spoke about this during the play-by-play broadcast last night, is especially early, like in the first and second quarter, Rockridge was really taking some, like, deep shots in the passing game, and you were defending him well. I think there was even a drive where you forced him to punt. I think it was the second quarter where, you know, you have three consecutive pass breakups on kind of middle to deep routes, and a few other plays where your defensive backs were in a good spot and knocked the ball down. Where, you know, we've seen earlier in the year where that's kind of been a group that has struggled a little bit against the pass. So it felt like that was another kind of step forward secondary-wise against a really potent passing attack. I thought a lot of the times, and even on one of the big plays they made to steal late in the half, you were kind of in the spot, just didn't make the play on the ball. So secondary-wise against a potent passing attack, like I said, happy for the most part with kind of how you were in the right spots.
Yeah. The plays we were able to make on them last night definitely helped our defense. We still had a few. We had a few where they were able to sneak somebody unaccounted for. But again, down the field, our secondary played pretty well. John Baldwin is out there playing some safety for the first time this year, just letting him play center field and react to the ball in the air.
Well, something, too, that was a positive, I thought, and we didn't get to this last time of the post game with you, but, you know, you've really found a really good kicker, especially, like, at the small school 2A level, Cannon Link. He's able to kick the ball deep. We've seen him kick it, into the end zone for touchbacks a few times this season. You've started, kicking PATs after scores the past couple of weeks. Hasn't missed one of those. Kicked a 31-yard field goal to get you within 9 points in the second quarter. So that's always something I think at the small school level is such a weapon if you can have a kicker that can get you a field goal. So that unit has looked pretty good, and I think, like I said, that's a pretty big part of a team to have a kicker at the small school level.
Yeah, definitely. Cannon's got a pretty good leg on him, and, he had a football and a tee all summer, and lives down there in Seton. It's probably not a lot to do but besides kick the football in Seton. So he's kicked the ball well for us, and he definitely got a strong leg. Like I said, his when we on Thursday practice when we line up for the PAT, heck, his just regular PAT kick is a 35-yard field goal. So when we're working on him as far as backing up a little bit, working from different hashes and things like that. But yeah, the it's 3 points. But that 3 points last night at the time of the game, man, it created as much excitement on our sideline as a touchdown, and that's going to be a weapon for us definitely with Cannon moving forward.
Yeah, and offensively too, last night you had some really explosive plays. You had the 78-yard touchdown run by Tannen Whitehall. I think, Baldwin had a nice run on kind of a scramble where he goes 64 yards, kind of splits the safeties and gets down the field and runs away from everybody. And those kids do have that kind of track and field sprinter speed like we talk about. And seeing the explosive plays is something that I think, you have the capability of doing with some of the speed you have, and I thought the blocking was good, like you talked about last night. So more on that, like we were talking about earlier, it just feels like, blocking, you did a solid job for the most part against Rockridge, and then, like I said, the explosive plays are something that were certainly a good sign.
Yeah, it was really, really good for us to see Tannen break away like that. He's been he's been struggling with different injuries throughout the year and probably really never been more than about 80%. So it was good for him. And we talked about it after the game, for his confidence, to be able to get out in the open field and run away from people. So, and that's kind of the premise of our offense. It's going to kind of just chip away and you keep doing the same things and eventually one of them's going to break. And for Tannen, it did. And it really got us going in that second quarter, to propel us through the rest of that first half. And then, John's explosive play was just a quick read on his part on a pass play. He just rolled out a little bit and they kind of opened up the seam for him there to go. And he just, like I said, he just took off and he's got that. Both those guys were on our sprint relay teams that meddled last spring. So it's good to have them on the football field.
Yeah, and then I know we talked about it a little bit last night, but defensively, I think, you know, the thing that hurt is just, you know, I think they had 3 one-play touchdown drives, and I think 2 of them were right after you scored to kind of get back close into the game, and then they had the drive after the field goal where they get the big pass play down to the 4 and score the touchdown. So it just felt like, again, last night, like the momentum, you weren't able to really keep it after you scored. So, and we talked about kind of the explosiveness they have and the big play capability with some of their personnel offensively, but That just felt like maybe that the biggest thing that hurt last night is just those kind of quick hitting touchdown drives that kind of sucked the momentum out of you. Right?
Yeah, I guess that's the one caveat there to leading the time of possession is it didn't take them very long to score. Again, we're trying to chip away as best we can and improve that on the back end. And they are. They're a good football team. They've got an explosive offense. And, you know, they've got some pretty special dudes there to catch and throw the ball. And, you know, again, we're just trying to make sure that we get guys aligned in the right spots. We made some plays early. We just didn't sustain it throughout the game.
Well, and I think last night, too, it was especially, you know, fun, like we've talked about, for the first about 2.5 quarters when that game felt like it was, you know, in doubt, where Mercer County was hanging around and you know, kind of giving Rock Ridge a little bit of a scare, as big of a scare as they've really had all year through 3 quarters outside of maybe the Princeton and Newman games. So that's certainly a positive. And I think another thing that we didn't quite get to last night of the postgame, it was a great, you know, environment for that game last night with 2 local schools playing, a really big crowd. They had the, you know, preliminary YSF 5th and 6th grade game between the 2 schools, which I thought was a nice touch to adding to kind of the rivalry aspect of what Mercer County and Rock Ridge is. So, I mean, just what'd you make of getting to host that game for the first time? Now, last year you played over there and it was, I thought, a great atmosphere too, but getting to play at home against Rock Ridge first time since 2013, it's a pretty special night, I thought.
Yeah, it was. You know, there was a lot of people there, and like you said, it was a good deal to have our young kids out there on the field before the game and bringing more people there. And like I said, I think our guys could sense that, you know, that it was a little bit of a special night, you know, for the first time, would you say, since 2013, for Rock Ridge to come to town. And, you know, again, we're going to hopefully build on that each week, and the guys are going to be ready to go.
Yeah, so like you said, definite positives to take away from week 7 as you turn the page to week 8, senior night next week at home against Princeton. And that's always, I know, a special night, getting to honor the kids who have been in the program for 4 years. I think you've got a group of 12 or 13 seniors that will be playing their last game at home next week. So I know that's something I'm sure you're going to be talking to the kids a lot, is just making sure you're hopefully, especially the younger kids, helping the senior kids go out on a high note at home next week.
Yeah, definitely. We've got an outstanding group of seniors. You know, there's 12 of them, and, you know, 11 of them have been a part of our program for all 4 years, and then Holden, you know, come out for football for his 4th year. We're glad to have him. But, you know, it's a great group of kids. They've really helped the transition for me personally, you know, taking over the program here and moving forward, and they've done everything that I've asked of them. And you know, it's going to be great to honor them on Friday night and send them off with a victory.
Well, and just last thing, we'll preview Princeton more coming up in the week when we talk with you pregame going to the game on Friday night. But I know it's a team that is kind of back to that run-heavy offense with Casey Etheridge, who is, you know, I think the all-time leader in rushing yards for Princeton. He's had a great career. So just kind of shifting the focus now as you go back from playing a team who plays out of the spread to now kind of a team who will bunch it up and run the ball at you a lot.
Yeah, they definitely do. They're running that old traditional single-wing offense. And you know, they, again, it's a kind of a power offense, but there's also some misdirection to it, and we just got to make sure that we're true to our assignments and our kids. I feel like defensively our kids have done pretty decent job in the run game consistently through. That's probably been the best asset of our defense, so which kind of matches up with what they do there too. So again, it's going to be excitement, you know, a lot of emotions on senior night, and that's usually the night where some kids will step up, and looking forward to it.
All right, Mercer County Head Coach Fred Lucas joining us on Sportsline this morning from inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. Appreciate the time, sir. We'll talk to you later in the week getting ready for Princeton.
Yep, you bet. Thanks, Ty.
All right, Coach Lucas joining us on WRMJ. More to get to on Sportsline this morning. We'll talk with Rock Ridge Head Coach Sam Graves. We'll also speak with Monmouth Roseville Titan Head Coach Jeremy Adolphs and start to set the stage for next week's 7-0 versus 7-0 matchup over in Edgington. Sherrard Head Coach Dan McGuire will join us. Tigers got their first win of the year last night, and Orion's Chip Filler will join us later in the program, as well as the Chargers were eliminated from postseason contention with their loss to Erie Prophetstown last night. More to get to on Sportsline. We'll chat with Sam Graves next on WRMJ.
Plan to attend a virtual live land and real estate auction for the Gary Schomburg Estate on Friday, October 31st, beginning at 12 p.m., presented by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. This property includes 26 acres in one tract, located at 1436 State Highway 94, north of Aledo. The three-bedroom ranch home features an open floor plan, spacious living and dining room, kitchen with breakfast bar, master with private bath, central air, updated utilities, wood-burning fireplace, plus a full basement and two-car attached garage. Other features on the property include a 30-by-40 horse barn, 10-by-16 open front utility shed, wooded recreational land and pasture, white-tailed deer habitat, and even an asparagus patch. Visit MeritAuctions.com for online bidding and photos. That's MeritAuctions.com, and click on Upcoming Auctions. For any questions or to arrange a showing, call auction manager Dale Jones at 309-299-6400. Don't miss the virtual live land and real estate auction for the Gary Schomburg Estate on Friday, October 31st, beginning at 12 p.m., presented by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions.
Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, speaking with Rockridge Rocket head coach Sam Graves. Rockets clinch an outright conference championship last night, beating Mercer County 61-24. We talked with you post-game last night, Coach Graves, but I think important to reiterate just the importance of winning a conference championship. You mentioned it's not something that maybe is the ultimate goal of this program year in and year out, but a nice, you know, kind of milestone to be able to check. You go 5-0 in a really good league this year, it feels like, 7-0 to start the season. So just, I mean, how do you feel where you're at coming off of the conference title clincher last night?
Yeah, you know, it's like I mentioned last night, it's at the end of the year, you hope it's, you know, something later on the guys can kind of smile about and feel proud about. And this is a tough conference, and there are a lot of battles each week, and it seems like there's always some head scratchers when you look at the scoreboard that night or the next day and like, what the heck. So you know, the guys did a nice job. They should be proud of it. You know, that's what somebody told us last night. We were at Coach Wheatley's house, and they're like, you know, the funny thing is they're like, we feel like it's, I think it was Nick Bull was like, I feel like it's a culture thing. Like, you guys won the conference championship tonight, and I never heard one word. Like, you guys didn't mention it once. Like, it's just kind of like, okay, it's another thing for us. Here we go. Like, let's get better and get next week. And, you know, I think, you want the kids to have that mentality during the season that, hey, it's almost like you're a machine where you're just, you know, just next foot forward, let's get better. But you do like want them to be able to reflect on it and be like, kind of look back and, man, how fun was that? And we did some really good things and smile about it and have some good stories with their family and buddies. And so we are proud of them, you know, obviously. You know, coach talk, we're going to get right in Monday too. None of that talk, and we'll get right into Monmouth and getting better.
Yeah, so last night we spoke about it with you too. Weren't maybe pleased with the four-quarter effort, but were able to pull away in the second half. And I think really, you know, Mercer County hung around for a while, but every time they got, you know, somewhat close, maybe close to being within striking distance, you'd have the response where I know you had three one-play touchdown drives that kind of ripped the momentum right back. And it felt like every time they scored, you just responded right away to kind of put the, you know, distance between you and them again. So just speak to that last night. We talk a lot about the explosive capability of your offense. 9 touchdowns in 11 drives last night. In the last drive, you kneeled it out basically inside the 10-yard line. So that part of the offense was clicking, I thought, last night, especially just the explosiveness. You got big plays when you need them, it felt like.
Yeah, that's the good thing, you know, is that even when you have some frustration, you're still able to do that. And I think more, you know, there was some frustration up front, I know, with our offensive line early, and they were able to figure it out. And for the most part, we had what we wanted offensively. But, you know, I think they did a nice job. It was kind of reversed last night. We've hung our hat on defense quite a bit. And sometimes when our offense has kind of stumbled around and tried to find its footing and make adjustments so we could start moving the ball, we've really hung our hat on playing really solid defense. And last night, I feel like it was kind of the opposite, where, you know, we kind of stumbled around defensively, maybe a little bit, especially up front, D-line and linebacker wise. Well, and secondary, I mean, it was a whole unit thing looking back on it, but, you know, it's nice because we were able to run the ball, again, and that opens up some explosive plays on the edge and throwing the ball when they have to start rotating safeties down. And, so that's kind of the nice thing, is that we were able to move the ball. It didn't, you know, as frustrating as things were at times, it definitely felt like, you know, we were able to get what we wanted offensively.
Well, as you turn the page to week 8, you know, a really highly anticipated game with Monmouth Rose, and we've spoken with you throughout the season. You know, it felt like week 2, you said that felt like a postseason quarterfinal type game at Princeton. Same thing week 5 against Newman. And then, you know, I think same thing will be coming up this week, I expect it to be, with Monmouth Rose. So you get basically a game at the beginning of the year, at the middle of the year, and then at the end of the regular season, basically, where you get this kind of like playoff preview of a really good opponent with, you know, a big crowd and a lot on the line. So we'll speak a little bit about Monmouth Rose specifically in a moment, but just getting another experience like that, you gotta love that, you know, still a couple of weeks out of beginning the postseason run, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is I know I'm speaking a little more specifically on Monmouth, but you're going to hit the 2A playoffs and you're not going to see another, we're not going to see a line that's as big as they are in 2A, I don't think, anywhere. So, you know, they're going to give us definitely some problems with that. And you know, I think that concerned us talking right away after the game, is that, you know, with the physicality Mercer County had up front last night on us, that definitely concerned us that, you know, we're going into a Monmouth team that, you know, whatever their score was, beat them 51 to whatever, or I can't remember what it was, way back from week 1, but, you know, was even better than Mercer County, and we got to turn the page and get better and figure out how we can match that physicality and match that size they have up front and try to neutralize that. So, but yeah, you know, it's just another team that's going to give you a heck of a look and give you a playoff atmosphere. And you're right, like way back that Princeton game, man, after that game, we're like, looking back on it, you're so proud of the kids because of the defensive, again, stumbles that we overcame. And you look back on it, you're like, man, if we played them again, you feel like the defense this time would be way better and you wouldn't give up that many scores. But, you know, those moments that you get during the season that you can hang your hat on and say, we stumbled, but we still won. And it was against a really good team and a really good atmosphere. And those get you ready. I mean, those definitely feel like playoff, not even first round, definitely middle of the playoff games. And, you know, that is the good thing about the conference. I know there's always an argument for, do you want to be rolling and have absolute confidence and winning every game, or do you want to be feel like you're prepared for the postseason? Even if you're 6-3, 7-2, you're getting in, but you feel like you can play with anybody because of the competition in your conference. I think, you know, that's a good argument, and it's always definitely been for the Three Rivers, it's always been that way. Where, I mean, heck, look at Fulton last year at 5-4. I think it was, they go to Bismarck Henning, maybe it was, at 9-0, the number one or two ranked team in the north side of the bracket and almost pull off the upset. So feels like if you come out of our conference, you got a shot in the playoffs.
Yeah, and then just last thing, as we, you know, look ahead to next week with Monmouth-Roseville, does it feel like another one of those games where, you know, up front is kind of where it's going to be won and lost for you? You got to be able to hold your own. I know you mentioned that earlier with just the size and physicality Monmouth-Roseville has. Is that maybe the main point you're trying to hammer home this week?
Yeah, I think it will be. I think that'll be our call to the guys is that we have to be able to match that and play after play. There's no question that there is a size mismatch. They're huge, and we play undersized guys up front. We really do. I know Tanner McCaig has some good size for us, but other than that, you know, we kind of hang our hat on undersized guys that fly around and play physical and don't stop and bring us nonstop energy. And we got to have that. There's going to be no getting tired next week or taking plays off because they really do. They've been able to kind of impose their will on everybody they've played so far this year with their huge line and physical play. And, you know, I think even Coach Adolfson will tell you maybe they lost a little bit of overall team speed from previous teams they've had. But, you know, it almost looks like they're moving the ball just as well because it's almost like as a team they're playing just as well or better up front with the backs. They're carrying the ball really hard. They don't go down on first contact. So, you know, overall team speed may not be where it was. And he'll even tell you that. I've heard him talk about it before. But, man, the just the size and the overall strength of the kids and how hard they play, that's going to definitely present a challenge for us.
Rock Ridge head coach Sam Graves, Rockets 7-0 heading into a matchup with fellow unbeaten Monmouth-Roseville next week after Rock Ridge picked up the 61-24 win over Mercer County last night. And, you know, Coach Graves, appreciate the time, man. Looking forward to Week 8. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Yeah, thanks, Ty. It'll be a good one next week, that's for sure.
I'm Ty Taylor. More coming up on WRMJ.
Now at 6140 Run, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka, lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140 Run. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
All right, back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Monmouth-Roseville Titan head coach Jeremy Adolfson joining us as the Titans are 7-0 and outright conference champions for the second consecutive season after a big win over Hall last night. So, Coach Adolfson, I know speaking with you last year, it was a big goal to try to, you know, win that first ever outright conference title as Monmouth-Roseville in football. You do it again this year in really dominant fashion, basically in every game in the division this year. So just the meaning for you and the program to be able to do this for a second straight season.
It's huge. You know, it's when you start, you know, we always tell the kids that when you do something once, it's a team. And when you start doing things repetitively, then it's kind of more reflective of the program. And, you know, for your seniors, it's for their entire careers. And so, it was a huge, huge goal of ours. And like I said, multiple times, and even told our kids last night, you know, it's, if you'd have told me in July that we were going to be 7-0 and conference champions again, you know, I knew that was a possibility with this group, but I don't think I could have ever dreamed it to go the way it's went as far as, you know, how we played and the way the results have looked on the scoreboard and just the way we've done it on the field itself. So huge credit not only to our kids that have returned that have been such a big part of our success, but the new guys that have plugged in this year that really have done better than, you know, try to hold the standard and try to replace some of those kids that were gone, but have kind of, you know, elevated another step further, I think.
Well, yeah, just the journey of the season and the progression from one year to the next. And we talked about this with you earlier in the year too, I think, coming into the season against Mercer County previewing week one. But man, the backs you have really stepped up as they've kind of definitely filled that void that a kid like Peyton Thompson left last year. You know, Nick Houston, I think, had a big, huge night last night. Landon Montroy, your fullback, has been tremendous. And like a kid like Lars Bergeron has had such a great year, kind of his first year mainly running the ball for you at the varsity level. The thing you hang your hat on, of course, as we know, is the physicality up front with your offensive and defensive lines. So just kind of keeping that rolling this year, despite losing an all-stater from last year's team and almost, you know, maybe even being better up front than you were a year ago, as crazy as it sounds. I mean, like you said, that sounds like it's something that's pretty reflective of the program and kind of the things you want to be able to do year in and year out. Is that what you see?
Without a doubt. Yeah, it's been fantastic to watch the kids' progression throughout the year and kids stepping in different roles. You know, Nick Houston was a two-way starter, played every snap as a sophomore to get that team, help get that team in the playoffs, but never really touched the ball. He caught the ball a little bit, but he's just a blocker for our two main backs then. And then last year became kind of the number two option there with Peyton Thompson, had a really good season for us, but also just, you know, again, such a good blocker. It was hard to give him the ball as much as you probably should have. And then this year taking over that lead role, you know, last night he breaks the Martell Hunter single game record, which anytime you break a Martell Hunter record, that's pretty impressive. And he's well over 1,000 yards now and just doing such a great job. And then, you know, Landon Montroy came on last year as a sophomore. He's having a huge year. He's zeroing in on 1,000 yards, hopefully, you know, before the end of the end of the season for sure, a regular season for him. And then, yeah, Lars as a third option. I think Lars, there's been a lot of teams I've coached where Lars have been the number one option. You know, he's a very athletic kid, catches the ball well, and is a great blocker as well. And really just the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, I would say he's just been amazing blocking downfield, been a big part of why some of these big runs have happened for the other guys. And then the guys up front, we returned 2 first team unanimous all conference kids, which is great, but that means we got 4 guys replaced from center to tight end, and we've had guys step in and do a great job. And then last night, you know, Landon Angelo, one of those returners, he's out after the second series, and so we shuffle in one more guy and shuffle a guy down to position he's literally never repped at, and they go out and they rush for, you know, almost 500 yards last night against a Hall defense that was stacking the box. So yeah, I just, like I said, I was terrified coming into the year because of what we had lost and so much that was unproven. And, you know, I guess I shouldn't have been as scared as I was, because the kids have just, they've improved so much throughout the year, and they continue to improve, and they just, they make a lot of right decisions out there on the field in live action. And that's probably one of the toughest things to do, you know, in football at any level, and definitely at the high school level.
Well, as you look ahead to week 8 now, a game that I think certainly people have had circled on the schedule all year, but especially over the past couple of weeks, as both Rockridge and Monmouth Roseville have kind of rolled through their, you know, divisional opponents. This is kind of the game and the conference people have been waiting to see. It was a great game played last year that Rockridge came out on top of, but just, you know, a matchup like this, 2 local schools playing, both 7-0, a lot of hype. It's probably one of those games, the reason you kind of get into coaching is get to experience things like this, and I'm sure, you know, the kids super excited to get to play in a game of this magnitude too. So just maybe the feeling of that level. We'll speak specifically about Rockridge in a moment, but man, that should be a fun night next Friday night with Monmouth Roseville and Rockridge both 7-0 going at it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. You know, it's I guess the schedule maker, give Jeff Olson at Princeton credit when he put the schedule together, that this one lines up the way it does. It makes for a heck of a battle here. Teams coming off conference titles, and you know, we know the atmosphere will be great over there at Rockridge. Obviously, they'll have tremendous support with all the success that they've had there and continue to have. And we knew coming into the year that team was going to be a load. The Schweigen kid, I think, is the best overall, you know, football player that we're going to play against. I think Nick Houston's a pretty good football player too, but the Schweigen kid, just, he's fantastic with what he can do at the quarterback position, the way he plays, how physical he is as a runner. And now he's playing defense, and, you know, they got those tremendous speed there at the skill spots. But you know, as far as the game itself, you know, it's just, it comes down to, and we tell our kids, like, you've created this situation, like, you've created this excitement by how you guys have played every single week. And, you know, playing in these games, it's exciting, but it's also like, it's validation for all the work you put in, because you get to play in these games where everybody's wanting to know, you know, what's the score. I imagine everybody in the track, when they walk off the field Friday night, it's going to say, you know, what happened up there at Rockridge? You know, what was the final? What was the score? How'd that game go down? Because It is going to be a big battle with two teams that have played extremely well throughout the year. So, yeah, I can only imagine what our following is going to be like. I know their crowd's going to be massive. I assume it's probably a senior night situation for them too. So, I mean, it's going to feel like every bit of a playoff game, and probably a deeper than early playoff game, I would think, just with the proximity and the history between the schools as well.
So, one thing about Rockridge I think that sticks out is just the explosiveness they have offensively. You mentioned Colin Schweigen, who scored 30 touchdowns already this season, had six more last night. They scored 61 against Mercer County, back-to-back weeks of 500 yards of total offense. So just the early read you have on them offensively, what maybe is the thing that impresses you the most about what they're able to do when they have the ball?
Again, their skill kids are amazing. Great speed out the receivers. Both the kids who run the ball, Dye and Sowards, are both tough, hard-nosed runners. And of course, Schweigen can do it all. He's a really good on script quarterback, but I think he's even better when things start to break down, just because of he's so tough to bring down. He does such a good job of keeping his eyes up when he's moving. Last year I told his dad after the game, like, he beat us by making six plays that a high school quarterback probably never makes, and he made all six of them on third down situations to extend drives, and where we thought any other time we'd get off the field. And so that's really impressive, but I think probably even more so, and they do it every year, so I'm not surprised. But what they lost up front, what Coach Henry's able to do with those linemen year in and year out, and take guys that are JV quarterbacks and former receivers and former running backs and plug them in there on that offensive line, and they just do such a good job of being aggressive, number one, but just their body positioning is second to none. Like, they do such a good job of making sure they get their hips and their shoulders where they need to be. And so defensively, like, if you're not where you're supposed to be immediately, it's tough to get them down, because they do such a good job of kind of creating those run lanes for their backs and for the quarterbacks, where their guys are hitting the hole full speed. And if you're not there, they're gone. And I think I'm not exaggerating when I would say, on offense and defense, they're going to start six kids that could outrun our fastest kid as far as just straight speed goes. So obviously we got to make sure that it doesn't turn into a track meet, and we've got to keep them contained and keep them within the constraints of our defense for sure. And that'll be a massive challenge, because when you give up that kind of speed, all it takes is one broken assignment and you're chasing a guy to the end zone. So they will pose many challenges to our defense, but I think it's one that our kids are going to be up for.
And just wrapping up with you, Coach Adolphson, this morning, I think, too, when you look at your schedule, boy, it's a tough final 2 weeks, where you have Rockridge week 8, and then you have Newman waiting the week after in week 9. We spoke with you earlier in the year about just the 3A playoffs and like the North bracket specifically. I think you said, the quote was great. You were like, you look at the 16 teams and there's maybe like two or three you actually want to draw in the first round. So you get basically a preview of that with Rockridge and Newman. I mean, do you like this schedule being like this, where it's kind of backloaded for you? You get two tests to close out the regular season heading into the postseason?
I think so. I mean, maybe you'd like to have maybe one game of the last two that maybe isn't quite like that. But last year I felt like it was perfect. I mean, we played a great game against Rockridge. They got us. We turn around and we play Newman, and we've got, they're the conference champions on that side, and probably play our most complete game there. Nothing flashy, just kind of dominated the game steadily throughout. But then we end up, first round of the playoffs, we draw PBL, who's 6-3, but they lost three games in a row because all their kids were hurt. Well, then they were all back. So like, it was like they were every bit, what Newman and Rockridge were there at the end of the year. So yeah, with what we're going to see, it probably is best just to continue to see that high level of competition, because like I said, save a couple schools, you're going to play teams that are really good. And if their records aren't great, it's only because of who they've lost to, to get to that point. So yeah, I think it's exciting, I think, for the kids. I mean, you want to play in big games. You want to stay as sharp as you can, because sometimes you get kind of a game where you'll maybe want to play a half, and it might take you a quarter to wake back up, the next week. And so, we know that's not going to happen the next 2 weeks. So I do think it kind of like builds that little crescendo there heading into the playoffs that we definitely need.
Mom of the Roseville Titan head coach Jeremy Adolphson joining us. Titans 7-0. They will take on fellow unbeaten Rockridge next Friday night in Edgington. Coach, appreciate the time. Looking forward to week 8. Should be a fun one, man. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Absolutely, Ty. Thank you.
I'm Ty Taylor. More coming up on Sportsline on WRMJ.
Plan to attend a virtual live land and real estate auction for the Gary Schomburg Estate on Friday, October 31st, beginning at 12 p.m., presented by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. This property includes 26 acres in one tract, located at 1436 State Highway 94, north of Aledo. The three-bedroom ranch home features an open floor plan, spacious living and dining room, kitchen with breakfast bar, master with private bath, central air, updated utilities, wood-burning fireplace, plus a full basement and two-car attached garage. Other features on the property include a 30-by-40 horse barn, 10-by-16 open front utility shed, wooded recreational land and pasture, white-tailed deer habitat, and even an asparagus patch. Visit MeritAuctions.com for online bidding and photos. That's MeritAuctions.com, and click on Upcoming Auctions. For any questions or to arrange a showing, call auction manager Dale Jones at 309-299-6400. Don't miss the virtual live land and real estate auction for the Gary Schomburg Estate on Friday, October 31st, beginning at 12 p.m., presented by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. A victory for the Sherrard Tigers last night, defeating Kewaunee 52-7 for Sherrard to notch their first win of the season. Speaking with Sherrard head coach Dan McGuire, and coach, honestly, man, seeing the score last night, I was smiling from ear to ear as I saw you pulling away from Kewaunee. I know it's been a challenging year, you know, both on and then off the field with injuries and illnesses within the program. So, I mean, for you, how rewarding was it for you to be able to see the kids pick up their, you know, first win of the season last night, get home and ring the bell when you got off the bus?
Well, you know, it's been a long time coming. The kids have been working hard since day one. Extremely happy for them. They've deserved it. They've deserved it several other times through the course of this season where we've fought some good games and, you know, some of our own miscues, turnovers, penalties, and things like that. Sometimes we've shot ourselves in the foot. But last night they came out and they played hard and they didn't have those type of penalties. And you know, instead of giving up turnovers, we were able to gain a few too, which helped early on. So extremely happy for them. They earn it. And, you know, I told them last night we went out to the bell. I've never experienced ringing a bell like that before. So that was pretty cool with the kids. A special time for them and for me as well.
Well, we've talked a lot throughout the season about, you know, how proud you've been of the kids, the way they've stood in the face of challenges and adversity. And, you know, coming off of the week three forfeit, when something like that happens, I think there are always, you know, two paths forward. There's kind of a fork in the road. Either, you know, get up, dust yourself off and battle, or, you know, sometimes you'll see teams fold at that point. And certainly you took the option that was, we're going to battle. You know, you had two games coming off of the forfeit against Hall and Mendota that came down to the wire that you had chances to win, not quite able to pull those games out. You gave Monmouth Roseville a fight, hanging around until the third quarter against a team that's undefeated and, you know, ranked in the state in Class 3A. You win this week. So just speak about what that says about the kids coming off of that week three forfeit and for really, you know, four straight weeks, a month in a row now, really, I think, playing pretty well and battling for four straight weeks.
Absolutely. Our kids have been resistant and, you know, they're determined to come out here on the practice field every day trying to get better. And as we talk about trying to get better and improve week to week, and I think the kids really have lived by that, having that illness and wiping out, you know, you know, 11 players, many of them two-way starters and all that, which, you know, with the numbers we have, pretty much decimated us that we had to forfeit that game. And that was unfortunate because, again, I think we could have been competitive there as well. But you know, they just keep coming back. I'm extremely impressed. You know, I've dealt with many kids over the years, both as a teacher, coach, and administrator and that. And these kids have the fight in them. And I'm extremely proud proud of them. I'm happy that they finally got, you know, as far as a win-loss goes, a reward there. I think they're getting many other rewards that'll come up hopefully throughout their lifetime about, as you mentioned, battling back and instead of feeling sorry for yourself, you know, and giving up or quitting or pointing fingers at other people or other things and stuff like that. They've taken the responsibility, stepped up, and you know, they've responded week to week, day to day. And again, as I mentioned, it doesn't always translate to a win on the scoreboard, but they're all winners to me, and I'm extremely proud to be with them and associated with them.
Well, I think definitely you've seen, you know, great strides and improvement for you from your team and year one under you from week one now through week seven. So out of the performance on the field last night, what were maybe some of the biggest things that you liked out of the performance to be able to get you to a win going away 52-7? I mean, what were the main keys for you being able to pull away last night, you think?
Well, I think, again, those turnovers defensively played extremely well, again, as we have the last number of weeks. Offensively, we were able to finally, you know, establish a running game and have some nice long drives, mixing things in a little bit and getting different players involved in the game. You know, again, you know, I'm not one for trying to embarrass anybody or run up the score. We don't have a deep bench. We don't have many bodies. So everybody, you know, that we have was able to get in and contribute and play. So I'm happy for that. But again, I have much respect for the Kewaunee coaches and their players. They continue to fight hard through the game regardless of the score, much like I would expect and do expect of our kids as well. So, you know, I think, again, defensively stepping up again like they have, and some key turnovers early on, and then being able to execute our offense more efficiently than we have for a number of weeks.
Well, you spoke about this already in our conversation, and a lot of coaches that you talk to speak about wanting the kids they coach to be able to experience the rewards and the highs of, you know, high school sports on the field. And last night certainly was one for, you know, your ball club getting the first win of the season. You mentioned, you know, the experience getting to get off the bus in the dark and ring the bell last night when you got back to Sherrard High School. I mean, so just for you being around the kids last night, you've spoken so much about how you're so proud to be associated with them and just with the way they've been able to fight this season. I mean, what was their reaction like last night? I'm sure that had to be really fun, you know, getting to kind of be a part of that celebration when you finally got in the win column last night.
Well, it sort of makes my eyes tear a little bit here. Just even thinking about that, it was, like I mentioned, never been able to ring a school bell with the team before like that. You know, I was actually in the locker room doing some things, and the kids had already gathered around the bell, and somebody came in and told me I needed to get out there, and I'm glad they did. As I walked up, they asked me to ring it first, you know, which was pretty special to be part of that. And of course I asked the whole team to join in and ringing that. I've never heard anything sound so beautiful as that, because a lot of sweat and tears and time has gone into that for those kids to be able to do it. So I'm just glad that they experienced it. And, you know, hopefully the younger kids experience that and want to hear that sound more often.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic story that the kid's asking you to ring it first. That's awesome. So Sherrard wins it last night, 52-7 over Kewaunee. And Coach, you got two games left, of course, starting with a game next week against Orion as you're coming off of that win over the Boilermakers last night. It's another one of those kind of local rivalry matchups like you had with Mercer County and Rockridge earlier in the season. So as you look forward, a chance to try to get a win streak going, just tell us what you know about Orion going into next week at this point.
Well, I know they're well coached, and they'll spread things out and challenge us from sideline to sideline. They're very highly skilled, so it's going to be a monumental challenge for us. But we'll just try to do what we do and hopefully do it successfully.
Epinish, wrapping up with you, I mean, anything you want to say, like, to the community or the Sherrard District that supported you? I know it was a proud moment last night getting that win. You've spoken about the kids, but also I think you've been able to garner great community support this season in the face of the adversity you've had to face on the field. So, I mean, what about that aspect of things? I'm sure you felt the love last night with the win, I'm sure.
Oh, it's the school, the staff, and the kids, and certainly the parents and the community have been supportive the entire time I've experienced it here. The crowds have been great. We had homecoming last week, and as you mentioned, we didn't fare well on the scoreboard, but the kids fought hard. And, you know, since I've been here, I haven't heard a negative comment yelled from the stands or spoken to me. Or anybody yelling anything at kids or anything like that from the stands. And you know, that's unique as well. Having coached many years, you know, everybody, you know, there's many armchair quarterbacks and people have different opinions of things and so on. But I haven't heard that here and certainly appreciate it. And hopefully, and I think they do understand that the kids have been working hard. It's not from lack of effort or trying. To do things right all the time or come out on top with the score, but extremely happy to be part of it. And again, it's not just the kids. I think you know, there's a reason why kids are quality like they are, and it's from their upbringing and the community all joining in to help raise these kids. You know, years ago I had always wanted to be a farmer. And I was able to farm some when I was in college. My dad worked at Farmall, but I wanted to be a farmer. But as I got older, I realized you have to have land and equipment and things like that. And that's not easy to do. But, you know, instead of raising crops, I've always turned and looked back at the fact that I've been able to help raise kids. And the community here does a great job with that as well. So just proud to be part of the group.
Sherrard Tiger, Coach Dan McGuire joining us. Tigers get in the win column last night, beating Kewaunee 52-7. Coach, appreciate the time. Congrats on win number one at Sherrard for you. Really happy for you and the kids.
Hey, thank you, Ty. And again, appreciate you covering high school sports.
All right, we're back with more on Sportsline after this on WRMJ.
Now at 6140RUN, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka, lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140RUN. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service. And welcome back to Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. This is Ty Taylor speaking with Orion Charger head coach Chip Filler. 40-14 Erie Provincetown wins it over Orion last night. So, Coach Filler, we'll start, you know, of course, every, you know, with the fifth loss, the postseason hopes dashed, or just maybe the message, disappointment to the kids last night as you come up short in that respect, though, still with two games to play to close out the season.
Yeah, you know, it's always tough here. The last, I don't know, I guess 4 weeks in a row here that we've been kind of giving the same speech, like, hey man, just, you know, just hang in there, the process, and you know, next week we'll be better. And now they're at the point where, you know, there's no next week will be better. It's, you know, not that we don't have a lot to play for, because, you know, we have Sherrard coming to town, which is a huge rivalry for us, and then, you know, we want to finish out well in Kewaunee. And but I was really surprised. And maybe not. Maybe I shouldn't have been. But you know, my post game speech, I'm looking up, and I've got three leaders that are tearing up and crying, and you know, I got 34 other guys that are like, man, this is, you know, deja vu. Like, we've been doing this, you know, and to see my son being emotional, to see Owen Voorhees being emotional, and to see Max Larson being emotional, you just see how much is tied in to everything they did just for this game or just for this season, and to know that, you know, now they're just playing football just to play football, and, you know, not playing meaningful football. It struck me, and it hurt, you know, to be quite honest with you, because I'm with those guys quite a bit, and to know how much they cared and how much they put into this season, and to know that they're not gonna get to their ultimate goal and be in the playoffs, it was rough. But you know, the sun came up today. I'm sure they're feeling okay and being better, and we'll move on to Sherrard.
Oh, you mentioned Owen Voorhees there, who played for you last night, but certainly wasn't 100% after suffering the kind of ankle injury he did last week against Rock Ridge earlier in that game. And we talked about how difficult it is when you have a kid like that who's so instrumental to your offense, when you lose him at the 100% level that he was playing at, it just really throws a wrench into what you can try to do offensively, especially at this point in the season. So, I mean, just speak about, you know, maybe his level of play last night. I assume he was probably a little bit hobbled and certainly wasn't, you know, playing at 100%. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I'll say this. The very first time, I mean, this is no secret to anybody that plays this. I mean, we orchestrate everything around Owen and trying to get him the ball and trying to use him in any possible way that we can. Hit the first quarter, and in the first quarter we were good. I mean, I think we were up 7-0 in the first quarter. And he had a few catches. I mean, picked up a big third down for us. Then the next play, and another nice catch over the middle. Had a great run on third and short for us to get us up. And then we got up 7-0, and he played defense the whole time. But you could just see the dynamic with him. The threat wasn't there, like the big play capability. And I do believe, you know, he's going to get there. He's going to get back. I do believe, like, next week or even the week after, you're going to see the real Owen Voorhees when he finishes the season out. And, you know, God help those teams. But he labored a little bit, and it really showed. Max Larson had a hell of a game. I mean, you know, he had 8 catches for near 100 yards, and just really those some of our receivers really stepped up. But you know, it was tough getting Owen going, and we knew that going in. So,
and just looking at the, you know, score defensively, it looked like another night where just you weren't able to get enough stops to hang around, and unfortunately, that's kind of felt like almost the theme for the last 3 or so years, is just defensively you haven't been able to keep teams out of the end zone enough to give your offense really even a chance to stick around. So, I mean, just speak about that thing or that part of the game last night where it looked like, you know, you're probably not able to put up 40 points. What were some of the struggles for you defensively last night?
Well, I'll say this: in the first half, our defense, I thought, played well in the first half. I got to be honest with you. You know, we get a 3-and-out on their first series, and we go down and score. You know, after you know, we used to see the opening kickoff and move the ball to the 50 yard line and then pinned them. So we had 2 good offensive drives, and we're driving again in the second quarter. You know, and you know, Kalem doesn't make a great throw. He's trying to squeeze the ball into Owen. And he gets intercepted, and you know, then they end up going 90 yards, you know, in a few plays. But you know, that just that change in momentum, so we get the ball back again after that, and we're going down, and we're getting ready to score again. And you know, we get a miscommunication with our receivers, and one doesn't run the route exactly the right way where he's supposed to be, and kind of Kale throws it where he thought he was. And, you know, again, it's just a miscommunication that happens between players. And it's the tough position with the offense that we run. You got to really be on the same page all the time. They get another interception and go down and score. So, I mean, offensively, we kind of gave them two. It's not like it wasn't in their territory. They had to put drives together, but it did flip the momentum quite a bit. And, you know, he was just a bit off there, and the miscommunication – when the miscommunication starts, it's probably between, I would say this is where he's thinking about, you know, or Kale, and I'm saying he is overthinking about things, what he needs to be doing. And, you know, gotta help these overthinkers. Like, I mean, people that do that in their world, I don't know how they go through life, but kind of overthinking not to make a mistake. And then he did, and you know, that kind of compound stuff. But, and then I'll say this, defensively, we only ran 3 plays in the third quarter. They got the second half kickoff scored. They kicked off. We muffed the kick. they take some more time off the clock, they go down and score again. So, I mean, we're sitting there, and I looked at, you know, looked at real time, right? And the last offensive play we ran was probably like 8 o'clock, and it was 9:15 or 9:30 by the time, maybe it wasn't quite that late, but by the time we got back on the field and ran a play offensively. So it's hard to come back from, you know, three scores down when you can only run three plays in a quarter. So that was tough on us.
Yeah, and like you said, looking at it next week, you get a local rivalry game with Sherrard. I know that's a game that means a lot to both teams and programs and both communities, and I'm sure the Tigers feeling pretty good after their first win of the season last night. So as you look ahead to next week, just what does the focus and mindset have to be taking on Sherrard at home next week?
Well, you know, just it's senior night for us, and, you know, sending out our kids the right way and having that rivalry game. I mean, really, this is, you know, when you get into high school sports, and you know this, Ty, like, you know, you always play for, like, the conference championships or the playoffs or, you know, the quarterfinals or whatever when it comes to football. But, you know, even in basketball, you're you have your regional championship. But what you remember is your rivalry games, right? So, like, even some of the biggest games I'm sure that you played in, you were probably, like those are the games that you remember. I'm that way. I'll tell you how eerie and how strange this is. My senior night when I played at Orion was against Sherrard. My son's senior night at Orion is against Sherrard. So, you know, that to me is a little bit crazy, but we didn't fare so well against a really good, you know, they were a good football team when we played them when I was in school. So, I'm hoping that we can, there's going to be some kind of ghost resurrected, so to speak, you know, against on Friday night for my son and especially these seniors. Cameron Ingstrom got a touchdown last night. He just come back from football after an injury as freshman year. You know, Max Larson's been just a dog for us. He's been a great player. You spoke on Owen, you know, he's been great. Weistein, who's a 165 pound offensive defensive lineman. You know, he's given everything he's got to this program. Trayson Barnes, who's come back out. Aiden Nolan, who's had a rough struggle in his life or in his career here at Orion, has come back out and has given us some great minutes. Griffin Tenda, who's fighting through a torn MCL, and he's going to try to play on it. He played last night, wasn't very effective, obviously, but he's going to give it a go. Those guys, Carson Peck, geez, I don't mean to leave anybody out. Carson Peck, who's just been a steady rock for us for the last 4 years, and he didn't play football until his eighth grade year. And he's still trying to learn the game a little bit, so to speak. Just all of those guys mean so much to me in our program. I want to really send them out the right way, and I could not have picked a better senior opponent than Sherrard. You know, I mean, with the rivalry, and the one thing I said when I took this job 17 years ago was I'm going to make sure that we take care of Sherrard. I mean, that's 10 miles away, and what they did to me in high school, and you know, and they're a good football team. So I know Eric Lawson listens to you, and Eric Lawson's in my class, so he kind of understands where I'm at. And but beating those guys means a lot. So having them on our senior night, my son, and, you know, another caveat to this whole story is, you know, my youngest daughter, Kendall, kind of dates or talks, I don't know, I guess it's all complicated, right, in the world of Facebook, but how their relationship is, but with Cooper Thomas. So, like, it's a very interesting story here and going into week 8, I guess, in our senior night.
All right, Coach Filler, I appreciate that time, man. We'll talk to you later in the week, getting ready for Sherrard.
All right, man. Appreciate it, Ty. Thanks for everything.
And I'm Ty Taylor. More coming up on WRMJ.
Plan to attend a virtual live land and real estate auction for the Gary Schomburg Estate on Friday, October 31st, beginning at 12 p.m., presented by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. This property includes 26 acres in one tract, located at 1436 State Highway 94, north of Aledo. The three-bedroom ranch home features an open floor plan, spacious living and dining room, kitchen with breakfast bar, master with private bath, central air, updated utilities, wood-burning fireplace, plus a full basement and two-car attached garage. Other features on the property include a 30 by 40 horse barn,
10x16 open front utility shed, wooded recreational land and pasture, white-tailed deer habitat, and even an asparagus patch. Visit MerrittAuctions.com for online bidding and photos. That's MerrittAuctions.com, and click on Upcoming Auctions. For any questions or to arrange a showing, call auction manager Dale Jones at 309-299-6400. Don't miss the virtual live land and real estate auction for the Gary Schomburg Estate on Friday, October 31st, beginning at 12 p.m. Presented by Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Now at 6140 Run, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka, lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140 Run. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
All right, back inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo, winding down Sportsline, winding down week 7 of the 2025 high school football season. Hard to believe, I said this off the top of the show, that there's just two regular season games remaining before we get to postseason action. Always a fun time of the year coming up. We have a fun week 8 on tap in a week or so. Coming up, I guess, in 6 days, we can say, with next Friday night headlined by probably the top small school game in the state. Rock Ridge likely will come in ranked number 1 in Class 2A as number 1. Maroa Forsyth lost last night. The Rockets have been number 2 for the last 4 or 5 weeks. So expecting Rock Ridge to jump to number 1. Monmouth Roseville number 10 in 3A this week from the Associated Press. Those two teams battle in a matchup of 7-0 teams. We'll have that broadcast on our airwaves. Mercer County hosts Princeton next week for senior night at George Pratt Memorial Field for the Golden Eagles. Also senior night for Orion as the Chargers welcome the Sherrard Tigers to town in a long-time rivalry. More fun games to look forward to, starting to kind of zero in on the postseason as well. As we look forward to 2 weeks from today, we'll have our annual WRMJ Pickens Playoff Preview Show beginning at 7 o'clock on the night of the pairings. We'll talk with every local coach in the conference that gets to the playoffs. We'll also hopefully be able to get on Rock Ridge's Round 1 opponent on our program as well that day. So that's 2 weeks from tonight, October the 25th, is the night that the playoff pairings are released for IHSA football. Always one of the most exciting nights of the year. That's for sure. We appreciate all 5 of our local head coaches that joined us this morning. Mercer County's Fred Lucas, Rock Ridge's Sam Graves, Sherrard's Dan McGuire, Orion's Chip Filler, and Monmouth Roseville's Jeremy Adolphson as well. More fun coming up on the WRMJ Series today. Here in just a moment, we'll join the Fighting Illini Sports Network. Big game going on in Champaign today as Illinois welcomes the Ohio State Buckeyes to town in a Big Ten play. We'll join the Fighting Illini Sports Network at 10:30 for an 11 a.m. kickoff this morning between Illinois and Ohio State. Appreciate you tuning in and supporting and listening to Sportsline week in and week out. For WRMJ Sports, I'm Ty Taylor.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots, and by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.